Title of this sermon is, This Is That Day, Today, okay? Hallelujah. Those of you writing it down, what is that? This is the day. This is that day, today. Amen? Praise God. So, Luke chapter 12. Start out with just one verse, and then we'll move on. But Luke 12, verse 32 says this, Fear not, little flock. This is Jesus speaking. Fear not, little flock. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It's His good pleasure to give you out of this kingdom. Hallelujah. Luke chapter, let's drop down to verse 49 through 56, and it says this. I am come to send fire on the earth, and what will I if it be already kindled? But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened till it be accomplished? Suppose you that I am come to give peace on earth? I tell you, no, but rather division. That sounds kind of weird, doesn't it? God, Jesus saying, I'm not coming to give peace on earth. I'm coming to give division. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son and the son against the father. The mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother. The mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And he said also to the people, When you see a cloud rise out of the west, straightway you say, There comes a shower, and so it is. And when you see the south wind blow, you say, There will be heat, and it comes to pass. You hypocrites. You can discern the face of the sky and of the earth. But how is it that you do not discern this time? How many know we're living in a crazy time right now? Amen? Lots of stuff going on in the world. Lots of things happening. And how many know that God's in control of all that? Do you know that? Do you know that God knows what He's doing? Can you be comfortable with that? God does really know what He's doing. And all the things, all the unrest, and all those things that are happening, God is in control. Really is. Hallelujah. But I want you to look at a scripture. It says, I am come to send fire on the earth. That's verse 49. And what will I if a fire be already kindled? I was trying to get some glasses one time. I'm going to tell you a story. I was trying to get some glasses. When I worked at the mine, I had an industrial injury. I would get a set of glasses every year from this company, and one year I called up and I was talking to the young lady that was on the other side of the phone, and she sounded really upset, and I said, "Are you okay?" And she hung up on me. Come on, man, hallelujah. So I waited a little while, and then I called back, and her name was Olivia, and I called back and I said, Can I speak to Olivia? She was my caseworker, actually. So they said, yeah. When she got back on the phone, she goes, I'm sorry I hung up on you, but I'm just going through some horrible things. I said, really? I said, hey, I'm calling to get some glasses, but let me just say this to you. Jesus can help you. And it got real quiet. I said, are you there? And then I could hear all the... You know, the sniffling and all the stuff going on. And I said, Olivia, I'll wait however long. And I led her to the Lord over the phone. She gave her heart to Jesus. And I said, oh, praise God. Oh, what are I calling you for? Oh, yeah, I need glasses. So she set me up with the glasses and everything. It was really nice. What happened after that was though she started calling me. She would call me back and ask me questions. I told her to get a Bible and start looking at scriptures. So she did. She started looking at scriptures. And she would call me and have all these questions, and I, you know, I would answer them. Well, I began to have these dreams. How many know God still gives dreams today? Do you know that? How many of you had a dream from the Lord? Raise your hand. Come on, yeah. Hallelujah. God does, He gives His people dreams. He really does. Hallelujah. And I think they're in color, but I don't know. I'm pretty sure they're in color. But I was in the dream, I was at home and I was eating supper. And all of a sudden, yeah, come on. And all of a sudden, these flames come out the way. I could look outside and I could see the flames. It's like the house is on fire. And I'm eating. And I look. I go, hey, house is on fire. Weird dream. And I went back to eating. Just kept eating. Yum. And I woke up and I go, what was that? And I'm going to tell you, when God begins to give you dreams, they're a lot more vivid than just a regular dream. A pizza dream. You know what I mean? They're a lot vivid. They got a message that God's trying to say to you. The Bible says in the last day, the young men will dream dreams, the old men will see visions. How many know that? That's what the Word of God says. And so I had this dream, and I said, Lord, what was that all about? Anyway, it didn't bother me too much. But a few nights later, I had another dream. And in this dream, I was like on top of a skyscraper someplace. And I'm eating. I got this eating problem, I guess. I don't know. But I'm eating, and there's people all around. And all of a sudden, there's flames on the outside of the skyscraper. Let's burn them. And I look, and the people are running to the windows. Ah, we're on fire. We're on fire. You know, they're running around, scrambling around and everything. I look around, and I just kept eating. Woke up, I said, Lord, what are you saying? What are you talking to me? What are you saying to me? Lord, what's going on? And, you know, I realized that God was trying to say something to me. So I went and I told my pastor. I said, hey, man, I've got these dreams. He goes, well, what's been going on in your life lately? Well, I don't know. I've been, you know, working with the kids. And I led this lady to the Lord, and she's been calling me and stuff. Oh, right away, she's been calling you? Say, yeah. What have you guys been talking about? Well, we've been talking about Jesus. She's been asking questions. You be careful of that. Okay, I'll be careful. How many ever had a question that just God could answer and nobody else could? Anybody had that? Sometimes the only person you're gonna get a good answer from is God. And I'm gonna tell you, if He gives you a dream, don't run to somebody else to try to get them to interpret your dream. How many know that? Is that a good idea? When God gives you a dream, say, God, what are you saying to me? I don't know. I get that you're trying to say something to me, but God, could you show me what you're saying to me? Because I'm gonna tell you that God wants to speak to you. I could listen to certain. I talked to a brother at work. His name was Lee. And I had told him about Olivia, and I told him that I did. And he goes, after I told him about the dreams, and he goes, Henry, are you still talking with Olivia? He goes, yeah. He goes, that's it right there, bro. I go, what? He goes, you've heard this before, right, Rosie? Yeah. He goes, hey, man. He goes, there might be some, she might be getting attracted to you or something just over the phone and all this other stuff. And I said, well, you know, I never thought of that, man. It's always been the Word of God. I just didn't even think of that. And he goes, yeah. He goes, you better be careful. So then I started getting really. When she called, it was weird. You know what I mean? It was weird when she called. I couldn't talk to her the way I had before. I said, Olivia, I got to go, man. Because I was afraid. I wasn't sure, you know? But you know what I hadn't heard? I hadn't heard from God. I said, God, what are you saying to me? What are you saying to me, God? It's funny. It got to the point where I didn't want to talk to her anymore. Isn't that weird? I was ministering. Out of my heart, I felt it was all ministry. But I got shook up by what people had told me. So one night I was praying, and in the middle of my prayer, how many of you, when you're praying, people's names will come up in your mind? You know, that's God. That's a direction. God is saying, pray for this person. Pray for this person. pray for this, pray for that. And I was praying one night, and then her name came up, and I said, Lord, I began to pray for her. And I said, Lord, I don't know what your dreams mean. I don't know what you were saying to me. I really want to know, is it something that's going on her side? Because it's not me. And he gave me this scripture right here. Verse 49. He says this, I am come to send fire on the earth, and what will I if it be already kindled? God desires that we be a bright and shining light in the earth. You know that? And when God spoke it to me, all those other things that the people, friends had tried to tell me, they kind of dissolved. And I'm telling you all this because I want you to know this, because a lot of times we think, the Bible says this, in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. Do you know that? The Word of God says that, in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. But in Psalm 119, I believe it's verse 24, it says this, Thy word, O God, is my comfort and my counselor. His word. Hallelujah. How many of you know that we're not called to find out what everybody else thinks about it? Do you know that? This is what we're talking about, being independently dependent on God. When you don't know, you go to God. Is that cool? You have to find out from God about what it is you're going through. Don't let other people speak into you. Don't even let the pastor. I mean, I let pastors talk to me, and I say, yeah, okay, but it still didn't work. I need to hear from God. Amen? Let me just say that, because I know there might be some of you, what are you saying, man? You say we're not supposed to have, people aren't supposed to help us and so on. Let me just say this to you. When you're a Christian, how many of you know that Jesus is our example? How many know that we are to be like Jesus? How many know that? How many times did he pull out his counselors and say, what do you think, fellas? What should we do? Did he ever do that? He never did that. Never did it. God says, I will be ruler over your life or I won't be. How many of you can? Come on. That's kind of hard, isn't it? But God wants to be the king of your life. Is that cool? It's cool. And let me tell you, when you trust your life to him, you'll find out that it's the best thing to do. You'll find out that that's the best thing that could happen. Got to talking to Olivia and stuff. And so, hey, man, I just went through some stuff. And she found a church up in Phoenix somewhere. And everything turned out really well. I haven't heard from her for 5-10 years. And I'm going to tell you something. I thank God that he spoke to me in that. And he will speak to you. He'll get you. He'll take you and he'll show you what you need to be known. Is that right? He loves you. Huh. Hallelujah. Today, folks, listen, today, go to Jesus. Ask the Father. Don't go anywhere else. You don't need a counselor. You don't need a Christian counselor. Two guys across the street this morning stopped me and they said, hey, can you give us the name of some self-help? I said, yeah, what's going on with you, man? He said, well, I have a drinking problem. And then I go, hey, what's wrong with you, brother? He said, well, I've got this other problem. I said, I don't know any self-help things. The only one I know is Jesus. If you get a hold of Jesus, come on over to the church. We'll talk to you about Jesus. You'll sense him. And you'll see that he can do for you what you never can, ever could. Hallelujah. Folks, it's Christ. It's Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Psalm 118, verse 19 through 24. Hallelujah. Started out kind of tough, didn't it? Hallelujah. Hey, that's what happens when you spend some time with God. I said, man, God, okay. Praise God. Hallelujah. Psalm 118, verses 19 through 24. This is what the Word of God says. It says, open to me the gates of righteousness, and I will go into them. I will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord, into which the righteous shall enter, I will praise you, for you have heard me and are become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused is become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in his eyes. Verse 24 says this, "This is the day which the Lord has made. I will rejoice and I will be glad in it." Hallelujah. Verse 24 is our power verse today. If you look on your sheet, you're going to find out that it's a power verse. It's the one that says, hey, it says this, "This is a day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and I'll be glad in it." And I'm going to tell you something. When I was little, when I was young in the Lord, I was taught this song. This is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it, glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. How many know that song? Sound like a bunch of you know that song. Amen. Hallelujah. And see, what my problem was, God was speaking this every morning of this last week. This is the day the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I said, yeah, I know that song. So I'd start singing, this is the day. And you know what? And that's what that was. To me, it was a song. It was just a nice, cute little song that I used to sing when I was a young man. This is the day, this is the day. So that's how I looked at it. But it was almost like God said, you're missing my point. Today is the day that I've made for you. Rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah. This is the day. How many of you know it's important to know that this is today? You're probably looking at me saying, what are you talking about? Before we got to those verses, it said this, it says, open to me the gates of righteousness, and I will go in them. Do you know that David and all, you know, the guys in the Old Testament, did you know that the Holy Spirit could only come upon them, but he couldn't go into them? Do you guys know that? The Holy Spirit was available to them, but only to come upon them, but not to dwell within them. That's the difference of the New Testament. How many know? Sometimes in my Bible, I don't know about... I'm going to read this page right here. Because every once in a while, I'll look at it, and it just kind of gets me excited. It's not really, you know... Right at the end of the Old Testament, right before Matthew, there's this one page. It took me a while to get there. And this is what it says in my Bible. It says, the New Testament of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Authorized King James Version. That's all it says. But I'm so thankful for that page. Because when Christ came, folks, he brought the ability for God to come within you, to dwell with you. Because God has always wanted to dwell with man. Is that right? He's always wanted to dwell with us. He's always wanted for us to be close to him. Problem was, the Bible says sin separates us from God. How many know that? Sin is it's a wall that shoots up before us and we can't get to God. In the Old Testament, they couldn't get to God at all. Only a priest once a year could get into the presence of God. You guys all. Because sin is a separation. Old Testament, there was no pure blood to be spilled to cover the sins. When Jesus came, how do you know that? I learned this in the Catholic Church. Jesus died for my sins. His blood was spilled, and it didn't just cover my sins, folks. I'm going to tell you what it did. It washed them away. Gone. That's what Jesus did. How important is that one page, man? It's a big deal to me. He washed our sins away. In the Old Testament, they couldn't go to God. They had to go to a priest, and they had to tell him their sins. And that priest would get up, and he'd go to a lamb or a goat, and they would put their hands on that goat, and they would speak those sins into that goat, and then they would slay the goat. Spill the blood on the altar. But man could never get to God. But today. today. How old were you when Jesus died for your sins? How old were you? 2,000 years ago. Was anybody at the cross? Not one of us. Yet he knew you and he washed your sins away. Hallelujah. Washed them all. Well, what about this morning? I was doing this and I had this bad thought. Hey, man, he washed them all. How about next week? If maybe I might fall. He washed them all. How many of you know that? That blood is the most powerful substance in the earth today. It's his blood. It washes you white as snow. Gives you the ability to go right up to God and say, Lord, I really need your help. Gives you that ability. Do you realize the Jewish people didn't have that ability to do that in the Old Testament? Because sin does separate from God. So there's a gate that David's talking about here where he says, I will open this gate. I'm going to go into this gate, he says. And then verse 118, verse 19, it says, open to me the gates of righteousness. David is speaking. I will go into them and I will praise the Lord. And then he says, this gate of the Lord, of which the righteous shall enter. How many of you know that Jesus is that gate? The same word for gate is the same word that they use in the New Testament for door. Jesus said, I am the door. Amen? I am the gate. There's only one way you're going to get there. You're going to get through me. Man. Ooh, come on. Hallelujah. Let's look at Matthew. No, Psalm chapter 24, 7 through 10. Hallelujah. Psalm chapters 24, verses 7 through 10. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Do you know that you have a gate within you? You have a gate that says, you know what? I will open up this gate. I will open my mouth and I'll say, Lord, come on in. Open the door. Open that gate. Allow Christ to come into you. Hallelujah. Because I will say this, and I will say this over and over and over and over again. He has things for us to do, folks. Great things has he for them. Jesus said, greater things than these will you do. Because I go to my Father. And what he's implying is I'm going to send my Spirit to you. And my Spirit will help you to do greater things. My Spirit will do greater things in my name. How many know that? The Bible says it this way. It says, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my Spirit, is what God says. You're going to do things today because of the Spirit that helps you and leads you and guides you. Amen? Hallelujah. So God wants you to open that gate. Allow him to come in. When I was praying around the building, this building, I was praying around the building, there was 12 of us, 12 people. And I stood in front of that park, at the end of the parking lot, just at the driveway coming in. And I was waiting for an older gentleman to pull in. He saw that the bowling alley was closed. It was all boarded up. And he tried to turn around. And he turned around finally. And I'm standing there watching him and waved at him as he went out. I said, hey, man, have a good day. And the Lord said to me, prophesy over your building. I said, well, I don't know what to prophesy. And this is what the Lord said. Open up, O ye gates. Open up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory. This thing was boarded up close. And I hadn't even met the owner yet. But God has already had me prophesying to this building. Folks, I believe in prophesying. I believe in it. I believe in the spiritual aspect that God says, I will speak a word within you, and you speak it out. Amen? Hallelujah. The Bible says this, and I've said it before. In the King James, it says it this way. Most of the other interpretations don't say it this way, but it says this. The preparations of the heart and man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. So that God prepares your heart to speak, even though you might not know what's going on in your day. He's going to prepare your heart to speak. And then when you get at that point where he wants to get you to, those words will come flowing out. Because it's him. It's his Spirit that dwells in you. Hallelujah. You make that connection, you're going to find folks, man, wow. There's something different about you. Yeah, it's Jesus. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. Open up, O ye gates, you everlasting doors. You know, there's folks around us, people that they're just waiting for us to just open, just say something. You know, you don't have to give them scripture. You just look and say, hey, man, you know what? It'll be okay. It'll be fine. God loves you, bro. God loves you, sister. God will take care of you. Ask him. Ask him to help you. And you watch. And you watch what God does. All you've got to do is open the gate. Amen? Open that gate. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 through 14. Enter in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads to life, and few there be that go in. I'm going to tell you something. God is saying there's a gate that you need to go into. Can I just tell you that there's a lot of people today that are going and doing things thinking they're okay. But they're not allowing Christ into their lives. So I'm going to tell you something. If you're not allowing Christ in your life, you know what? Because people will tell you, well, I believe there's good in every religion. Is that right?
Yes.
I agree with you. There is good in every religion. Because people wouldn't go there if there wasn't some element of goodness. Is that right? Even if it's just being next to somebody, having a little bit of family or time, a little. You know, I'm going to tell you, the Mormon church, you know what makes them so powerful? Their family orientation. That's what makes them powerful. Muhammad, all those guys, they got all these words. People like the words, so they become, you know, it draws them to it. But not a one of those religions, did they have a leader or did they have the founder die on a cross? Not a one. So not all religions are good. There's only one way. His name is Jesus. Amen? Hallelujah. And I'm going to tell you, we are living in a where people are saying, oh, well, it's all God now. Did he die for your sins? Did he wash your sins? Is there a conversion in your heart? Do you feel new within? That's when you know. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Enter into the straight gate. Broad is the way that leads to destruction, but narrow is the gate. Jesus says, I'm the way. I am the gate. Anybody that enters in through this gate, you're going to find life and life more abundant. That's what Jesus said. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but this is good to me. Are anybody bored? I'm not. Praise God. I see a few people falling asleep. Everybody looks around. No, I'm just kidding. Man. Hallelujah. Psalm 118, verse 24. Once again, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today's the day. All you've got, isn't that true? All you've got is today. Today's the day. Today, this is the day. This is what I think the Lord was trying to impress on me. Today's the day, Hank. Henry, listen to me. Today is the day. I was like, oh, God, I get it. Finally. Every morning, this is the day. Hallelujah. Check this out. I want you to talk about this day. Isaiah chapter 12, verses 1 through 6. Check this out. Isaiah 12, verses 1 through 6. It's actually the whole chapter. Praise God. Notice, in that day, what day? Today. This is the day. In that day, you shall say, O Lord, I will praise you. Though thou wast angry with me, your anger is turned away, and you have comforted me. How many of you say that to God? Though you are angry, Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my what? Salvation. Ooh, man. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. There's another song. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water. Let me tell you, God wants you to draw waters out of the well. The wells of life. Hallelujah. And you know what? Today's the day. Draw water. Hallelujah. In that day, what day? Today. In that day you shall say, praise the Lord. Call upon his name. Declare his doings among the people. Amen? When? Today. Make mention of his name. Make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he has done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel. Where? In the midst of you. Within you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, man. Come on, man. Hallelujah. Let me just tell you. God always wanted to dwell with man, right? So he tells him, he says, you know what, Moses? Make a tabernacle and set it right in the center. And now I will be with you and everything. But the people kept on complaining. They said, oh, man, we don't have water. We're tired of the bread, the manna. Can't we have some garlic or something? Come on, God. You're a big God. You can give us that stuff. Complaint, complaint, complaint. Finally, God told him, you know what? Take my tabernacle and put it outside the camp. Do you know that? You remember that? Get it outside. That hurt me when I read that, because God wanted to live among them. But he's, take my tabernacle and put it outside. And the Bible says that Moses would go over there and the people would come out of their tents and they'd watch Moses, and the cloud by day and fire by night would come down on that tabernacle. And God would talk to Moses, and then he'd leave, and that cloud would go up, and the people would stand in the tents and cry. You know, like God wanted to be with his people. Tevek. You guys ever heard of the word Tevek? Tevek. That is the word among. God wanted to be among his people. And the best way that I have found to explain this, did I lose my hand? Is how many of you like roast beef? Anybody like roast? Does anybody over here like roast? Yeah. My mom used to do something kind of crazy, and I don't know if you guys do this, and I try to do it once in a while, but Rosie gets mad at me because I mess up her pans. But we'll get some flour, and I'll mix some pepper and salt in that flour. All right? You guys getting hungry yet? Yeah? Okay, and then I would take that big hunk of meat and I'd slap it down in there, flip it over, and get that flour all over the stuff. But before I put it on the pan, we would cut a little slice and stick a garlic in there. You guys, how many of you do that? Any ladies do that? You stick them all over that meat, is that right? And then you sear the thing, is that right? Is that right? You heat up your pan really hot, just a little bit of oil, and toss that thing that's got that flour and stuff, and it smells good. Flip it over. Flows good. That little piece of garlic, when you slice that meat and you stick that piece of garlic in there, that's tevek. That's what God was talking about. He says, when I want to be among my people, he wants to be inside. Is that cool? He wants to get inside. So that he can look at the things going on in there. Let's just say that this is our heart. He goes, oh, there's a little stain right there. We're going to get rid of that. The Holy Ghost going into your heart. He goes, oh, there's another little stain right there. We're going to get rid of that. How's that? Okay? See, because he wants to dwell among you and he wants to help you. Because he has a plan for you like no other God. He's God. Hallelujah. Everybody say Tevek. God wants to be among you. He desires to live with us. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Let's look at this. In that day, seven women shall take hold of one man. What day? Today. In that day, seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel, only let us be called by your name to take away our reproach. Do you see that? Is that happening today? Hey, folks, I'm going to tell you, this is happening today. Seven women, let's just call them churches, are grabbing a hold of Jesus, trying to get a hold of Jesus, and they're saying, you know what? We'll eat our own bread. We don't want your bread. We'll put our own clothes on. We don't want your clothes. That's happening today. They want to be called by as a Christian, but they don't want what he has for them. Oh, come on, man. Hey, don't blame me. I got this at 2:30 in the morning, okay? Praise God. Hey, let me just say this. This is happening today, in that day. But look at verse 2. It says this. In that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped out of Israel. Today, beautiful and comely. Everybody, look at your neighbor and say, you're beautiful. And if you don't know him, just say, hey, he said it, not me. All right. You're beautiful. Do you know that you're beautiful? Do you know that? Do you know that you're comely? Do you know that you're an attraction in the earth? You might not know it. You might not get it. But brother, you're an attraction. I believe it. You are an attraction. Why? Because of the Spirit of God that dwells in you. That's what makes you attractive. Whoo, man, hallelujah. I know some guys that strut sitting down. Why? The attractiveness of the Holy Ghost that's upon them. When you're walking through the mall and the guys are scoping you out, it's not you, girl. It's the Holy Ghost. Guys, biceps. It's not that. The Holy Ghost is attractive in the earth today. Let him be attractive. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Yeah. We'll wear our own bread. We'll wear our own clothes and bread. We'll eat our own bread. Now, you know that in Isaiah, I didn't put this down, but Isaiah 30 says this. I'm going to read Isaiah 30, verse 1 and 2. It says this. Woe to rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me. Remember what I said earlier? God says, I want to give you counsel. If you think you're in such a bad shape that you need a counselor, you know what I'm going to tell you right now? Go to Jesus. Find a Bible, begin to read it, and ask God for help. Ask him in your life. Tell him, God, I need a Savior. Save me, Lord, because I don't know what to do. I don't know how to get out of this. And you watch what God does. Hallelujah. But right here in Isaiah 30, it says, woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me. And that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, so that they may add sin to sin. See, people want to keep doing what they're doing, but they want to call themselves, well, I'm a Christian. I say, man, you know what? Don't do that. If you want to sin and continue sinning and continue sinning and continue sinning, I would say, brother, you better get after it. Because the Word of God says it this way. It says, that this will be the best time you'll have. Let's eat, drink, and be merry is what the Word of God says. For tomorrow we die. Death is an entry into heaven or hell. Period. You choose which way you're going to go. Heaven or hell. Hallelujah. Hey, amen. Pastor, don't go on vacation because he brings some. 2:30 in the morning, God's saying, hey, man, I want you to talk to my people this way. They need to hear. Folks, it's not okay to play. Do you remember that? Do you remember the line we drew that one time? There was a line. Do you remember that line? People like to walk the line. Johnny Cash, walking the line, walking the line. Draw a line and then get away from that line. You don't want to be walking where you can lose your balance and fall on the other side of that line. Because God's serious about what he's doing today. People are hurting and they need help. And folks, God's called us to do that. Amen. Hallelujah. Last scripture. Isaiah chapter 52, verses 6 through 10. I got to get going. We're going to have communion here. Isaiah 52, verses 6 through 10 says, "As therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore they shall know in that day." What day? Today is the day. "They will know in that day that he does speak. Behold, it is I. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of them that brings good tidings, that publishes peace, that brings good tidings of good, and publishes salvation, that saith unto Zion, your God reigns. Thy watchmen shall lift up their voice, with the voice together they shall sing, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion. Break forth into joy, sing together, you waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people, he has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has made bare his only arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God." Hallelujah. Know this, God is going to expose what he's done in the earth like crazy. The Bible says this, that the glory of the Lord shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. How many of you said? Do you guys remember that? Have you guys seen that Cover the Earth? It's a paint company, and it says Cover the Earth. It's got a little red thing coming down. That is a Christian company. That when they made that Cover the Earth came from the scriptures that says that the glory of the Lord shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. I'm going to tell you something. It's going to happen. And folks, believe it or not, today is the day that we have to be after what God is saying to us. Today's the day. You can't just put it off, say, "Well, you know what? I want to go down. I want to go down to Pueblos down there and drink myself silly, and then tomorrow I'll do it." I'm going to tell you something. Today's the day. Today is the day of salvation, folks. Hallelujah. God is calling us to do a great work. Hallelujah. He's calling us. How many say, "Yeah, I'm called"? Anybody called? If you're called, answer the call. Amen. Hallelujah. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice. I don't know about you, but I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to be glad in it. Because God is good. Hallelujah.